Radio station KAYT. Gina Alexandria. 88.1.
I've done everything that I could in my life in this world.
Gospel Radio, serving all of Senla at 88.1.
And welcome to the Mount Zion Missionary Baptist Church radio broadcast, where Reverend Roger L. Green Sr. is the pastor. This broadcast is designed to be a blessing and life changer for you and your family. Listen now as Reverend Green takes you through the Word of God.
Take, we pray. Amen. To the triune Godhead, to these preachers who share the task, to our veterans, God bless you. To Sister Doretha Henry, amen. Amen. We thank God for you, for those encouraging words to minister to us through song. Just believe. We're not going to hold you long. In the book of Second Chronicles. Chapter 20. Amen. Again, I thank God for what was said and done. So glad to see my little sweetheart back there, Peaches. Amen. God bless her. Look, y'all wave a hand. She's another old songster. Amen. I ain't going to call y'all today. You safe. Maybe. It's not over yet. Second Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15. And the word of God says this, and he said, hearken ye all Judea and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus said the Lord unto you, be not afraid, nor dismayed by the reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. Look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, the battle is real, but not impossible to win. God bless you. Thank you, ushers. The battle is real, but it's not impossible to win. Satan want you to believe that the battle, whichever it may be in your own personal life, that you are already defeated. He want you to live a defeated life. He wants you to feel so defeated, even when you come into an atmosphere like this, you can't even praise the Lord the way you want to, because you feel already defeated. But I come to serve Satan an eviction notice and tell him that you can't live here anymore. No longer am I defeated, because victory is mine already through Jesus Christ. As we jump right into the text, Jehoshaphat was the fourth king of Judea. And Jehoshaphat, he learned a difficult lesson from his father Asa. Although King Asa followed God early in his reign, his pride later prompted him to reject God's judgment. And him rejecting God, Asa eventually got ill and died. His son Jehoshaphat assumed the throne. He became one of the few God-fearing kings. He ruled Judah well, and what he did, he destroyed the sites of idol worship, and he restored true worship back into the kingdom. He personally appointed judges and set the law of Moses as their standard. So in other words, Jehoshaphat came back and put God first back into the kingdom. But in the text, they are coming, well, a vast multitude is coming up against him. Three nations has come together. Three nations have come together to come up against Jehoshaphat and the kingdom. And he's disturbed when he hears the news about the enemies that coming to destroy him. And I must say this, no matter how God-fearing you are, no matter how much you love the Lord and the worship of God, does not mean that you are exempt from your enemies trying to destroy you. Because I've come to discover, the closer you get to God, the rougher things may become. How many can testify and say, I'm dealing with some things now I never had to deal with when I was in the world, but I'm dealing with them now. It isn't because God has forsaken you. It's because you're getting closer to the Lord. And the closer you get to him, the stronger the trials will become. But I'm so glad that I serve a God that can handle anything that comes my way. Is there anybody can testify here this morning and say, God has not failed me? There is no failure in God. No matter what I'm dealing with, God has always been right there for me. And that's why I can praise God in the midst of this sanctuary right now. I may be broke, busted, and disgusted, but he still deserves my praise. You might have illness in your body, aches in your bones, but he still deserves your praise. You don't know how you're going to make ends meet next week, but guess what? He still deserves your praise. Because no matter what you're getting ready to face, God is already in the future waiting on you. If God hasn't worked it out yet, he's in the process of working it out. So I just want to give God what I owe him. How many can testify this morning that I'm going to praise God in spite of? Is there anybody here with an in spite of praise? I'm going through hell and high water, but in spite of it, God, here it is. People lying on me, putting my name out in the street, but in spite of it, God, here it is. You might have just got fired last week, but God, I know you got something else waiting on me. In spite of it, here it is. When Jehoshaphat heard about what was coming up against him, the crisis that they were getting ready to face, look at verse 2 of chapter 20. Then there was told Jehoshaphat that there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, this side of Syria. Behold, that Hazar and Tamar and of Engedi These three nations have assembled to come up against you. So one thing I want to tell you about the battle being real, your enemies are approaching. Don't ever get so happy, so wrapped up in where you are, to think your enemies are not approaching. One thing I want to tell you, when the enemy is approaching, you must know that God's got your back. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm so glad to know what to do when the enemy is approaching. Look, it's right here in the text. It's going to tell you what to do when your enemies is approaching. When they are approaching, look at verse 3. Jehoshaphat feared, but set himself not to seek his best friend, not to seek his ace boom coon, but he seeked the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout Judea. So when I know my enemies are approaching, I need to seek help from God, because I can't deal with this by myself. And so many of us are so wrapped in us because you didn't learn the few scriptures last week. Think that you can face the devil all by yourself. You can't face him by yourself. He's older than you. He's wiser than you. He's been around longer than you. You can't face him by yourself, but you can face him with God on your side, because God is older than him. God is stronger than him. When he tried to overturn God and his kingdom, God cast him down. But long as the Lord is on my side, he is my strength. He is my shield. He is my provider. He is my protector. He seeked the Lord. He began to seek God. God, because we cannot deal with this by ourselves. The enemies, they are approaching. I need to seek God. But then, not only did he seek God, verses 6 through 11, he searched history with God. He began to reflect on what God had already done for Judah and Israel. He began to remember the things that God had already done. And not only did he remember, but he told the rest of the people how good God had already been to us. Oh, you just missed it. When you seek the Lord, when your enemies are approaching, you need to remember, wait a minute, this ain't my first rodeo. Just because your life been cut off, this ain't the first time your life's been cut off. This ain't the first time you got laid off on a job. If God took care of me then why am I panicking now? Because the same God that fed me then, and I come to discover that God's resources haven't run low. Because if he took care of me then, he'll take care of me now. If he fed me then, he'll feed me now. If he clothed me then, he'll clothe me now. If he has shelter then, he'll give me shelter now. How many believe the same God that did it then can still do it now? Come on, I need somebody to get with me and say, I just don't believe God had passed away in my past. If he did it then, he'll do it now. I can go ahead and clap my hands. I can go ahead and praise God, because God is not short of his resources. He said, I'm going to seek the Lord, and then I'm going to search history with God. But then look at verse 12. Read the whole chapter in your leisure. But look at verse 12. He said, oh, our God, would thou not judge them? Watch this. He's going to be honest with God. He said, because we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither do we know what to do, but eyes are on you. Oh, y'all just missed it. Not only do I seek God, not only do I search history with God, but then thirdly, I sought hope in God. Watch this. He said, God, this battle is real. And this thing has come up against me. And it's burdening me so much that I don't know what to do. But my eyes are on you. Y'all just miss it. Sometimes you can be faced with something. And you just wave your hand in the air and say, Lord, I don't know what to do. But my eyes are on you. Doctor just said you got cancer. Raise my hand in the air. Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes. Lord, I'm in this thing all by myself. Nobody want to come to my aid. I don't know what to do, but my eyes. Oh, y'all just missed your praise cue. What he is saying, I don't care what is coming up against me, it's not going to be too big to blind me from you. I'm going to always keep my eyes on you because you are going to know what to do in any situation that I'm facing. Has anybody in the church ever got to the point where you just didn't know what to do? You prayed, but you got up and still didn't know what to do. You came to church and you praised God, but you still didn't know what to do. I've come to tell you what to do. Keep your eyes on him. And don't ever take your eyes off of the Lord. He said, I don't know what to do about this thing, but I'm trusting in you. So know that your enemies are approaching. But then watch verse 15. Watch this. He says, hearken all Judea and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. King Jehoshaphat said, the Lord, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude or company. For the battle is not yours, but it's the Lord's. So not only must come to the point I realize that my enemies are approaching, but secondly, my outcome is already confirmed. It is not my fight. Every fight is not your fight. We want to fight so much that we didn't lie on the Bible. The Bible says, watch, fight, and pray. The Bible don't say nothing about fighting. The Bible simply says, watch and pray. But we want to fight so much that we want to put fight in God's word. Why are you going to fight a battle that you know you can't win? But I will get in the fight when God tells me to get in the fight. If you know your history in the Bible, there are wars that God used man to win. But then there were wars that was too big for man to win. God says, stand still and let me fight this battle. Y'all just missed it. There are some things you can do for yourself. There are some things God will get in the mud with you and you fight with him. But then there are some things that's too big for you to fight on your own. God said, you just stay out of this one. I got this. And look, he says, if you want to be secured, settled, and established, determined, defined, and decided, planned, and predetermined, he said, you must trust in me. He says, fear not. Look at the text. Fear not. Because when you fear, you show lack of trust in God. Fear. Hear this good. You might want to write this one down. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. When you tolerate fear, you just contaminated your faith. Because if I have faith in God, then why am I scared? Because God has not failed me yet. Fear will never change your circumstance. Look what he says in the text. Your outcome is determined. He says, be not dismayed. Your heart will be protected. Dismayed. When I look at the word dismayed, demoralized, depressed, discouraged, disheartened, distressed, downcast, bothered, bewildered, flustered, frightened, horrified, mystified, perplexed, perturbed, puzzled. But God said, out of all of that, I still got you. He says, be not dismayed. Be not dismayed what you are about to face, because this is not your fight. He said, the battle is not yours, but it is God. Now here it is, and we're going to go home, but I got to get you to verse 16. Because in verse 16, every one of us have been to this point. Watch this, it's getting ready to bless you. He tells them, tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Zid, and they will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Now watch this. You ready? He tells them that this thing is going to drive you to the cliff, but you won't jump off. This thing is going to take you right to the edge, but it won't push you over. You're going to get to the point where you think you just can't make it, or you're not going to survive. And God said, that's when I'm going to show up. Now watch this. It's going to bless you. They had to get to the edge of the cliff to see God work. And every now and then, just because you're on the edge, don't mean it's over. It's just beginning. How many can testify and say, I'm dealing with some stuff, and it's got me at the edge. I'm just at the point about to lose my mind. But God has just placed you where he really wants you. Because at the edge is when he's going to heal your body. At the edge is when he's going to restore your joy. At the edge is when he's going to give you your happiness back. At the edge, he's going to give you your self-esteem back. At the edge, I'm going to be the man God wants me to be. At the edge, you're going to be the woman God has created you to be. At the edge, I'm going to clap my hand. At the edge, I'm going to stomp my feet. And every now and then, we got to thank God that he brought me to the edge, because he made me a better person at the edge. I've got help at the edge. I've got hope at the edge. I've got healing at the edge. The hand of the Lord is at the edge. Is there anybody can give God a 10-second praise, thanking him for bringing you to the edge? Because it was at the edge is when he blessed me. Let me get ready to go now. But he said at the cliff of Zig, at the edge of Zed, you will see. And then verse 17, he said, you shall not need to fight in this battle. He said, just stand still. In other words, he said, just check this out. You have no need to fight in this battle. Stand still. And you will see the salvation of the Lord. For you have no need to be dismayed, for tomorrow go out against him. For the Lord will be with you. Let me say it again. Go out against them. But you're not going to have to fight. The Lord's going to be with you. Let me say it again. When God fights your battle, he just wants you to take a look-see and how God can fight you better. How many can say that there are victories that I won that I never had to raise one hand, because the Lord fought my battle? So in other words, God is saying your fight is fixed. In other words, back in the early 40s, the mob controlled boxing. And what they would want to do, they would go to a boxer and they would tell him to take a dive in the third round. Because in the third round, I place so many millions that you will be knocked out in the third round. So before the boxers get into the ring, the fight is already fixed. They got their gloves on. The referees there, the trainers are there. But the outcome has already been determined. And I come by to tell you, Mount Zion, the fight is already fixed. God have already told Satan, you're going to take a dive. You're not going to hurt my child any longer. Anybody can testify and say that the Lord, he's good. Now watch this. Jehoshaphat in verse 21. He said, before we get in to this battle, before the Lord fights for us, he said, what I'm going to do is appoint some singers that they're going to sing praises unto the Lord. Let me say it again, Mount Zion. He didn't say everybody sing. He said, I'm going to appoint singers. Let me say it again because I don't think you heard me. He didn't say everybody in the nation sing. He says, I'm going to appoint singers. Let me say it again. He didn't say everybody in the nation sing, but I will appoint some singers. And what he was saying was, I want to people to sing to God who know God for themselves. I want the people to sing who know what they are singing about. You still don't get it. He said, we're going to praise God before the battle is over. He said, I don't have to wait till the battle is over to give God praise. We're going to give him praise right now. And in verse 22, they begin to sing. Watch what God does. While they were praising God, the three nations that were coming up against Judah, the Lord set an ambush into the nations, that each nation got mad at themselves. They began to fight among themselves. They began to kill themselves. They began to murder one another. And when it was over, they all lay dead on the battlefield. And when God said, see, Jehoshaphat, you didn't have to raise one finger. Just trust in me, and I'll do the rest. Is that